Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late night karaoke, especially late night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo with Mike Golic Jr. That is me. With me, as always, on the ones and twos, super producer Brandon Newman, my father, Mike Golic Sr., and back for an actual Wilder Wednesday. No need to adjust your clocks. Charlotte Wilder coming to us, I believe, live from the Miami Hotel Studio. Charlotte, I know you've been down there with the Levitard crew, so where exactly are you?
Oh, yeah. If you can hear yelling, it's because the show is going on right over there. I'm in a corner of the office. I'm holding my microphone. It's all extremely on brand, and I couldn't be more pleased.
So, Charlotte, are they punishing you for the Celtics getting the win last night? Is that what's going on right now? Because I feel like you guys have shooken a little bit of the confidence of Miami sports.
Oh, my gosh. Right? I mean, they're in there being like, you know, we're not worried. We're fine. And I'm like, I would be a little worried because after that performance last night, I'm like, Celtics in seven.
Oh, wow. The confidence, Dad, you hear the confidence all of a sudden leaking back in here as to start this show. So just to paint the picture for everyone of the chaos that I've been dealing with here, as we remind you to download, subscribe, rate, review, leave us a five-star rating. Check us out on the DraftKings YouTube channel, along with those fine folks at the Lebatard Show and on DraftKingsNetwork.com, Samsung TV Plus. Getting ready for this show, I'm sitting here waiting for the Levitard show to get Charlotte out of the penalty box and bully her in a corner where she can talk to us. My dad's over here trying to hardwire his internet 30 seconds before we go on air and then remember how to set everything up, sipping his coffee the entire time like we're not getting ready to start a show. Dad, are you okay? Can we start with you now too? Is everything fine on your end?
Let me just say that was a mistake for me to try and hardwire this thing 30 seconds before the show. I thought it would be easy. My router is literally 6 feet away from me. I have actually the cable to hardwire, except there's only one like slot left for it and it doesn't fit in there. So I thought I had to pull another one of the cords out, but I didn't know which one to pull out. So I got all confused. And then I came back on here and all of a sudden I wasn't connected anymore. And I thought, oh my God, did I screw this up? I got Ted, my bulldog, running around like a maniac. Hank just trying to survive. Your mother and Jake are driving back to Massachusetts. I'm alone here. All hell's breaking loose. But yes, here I am. Boston in seven is a load of crap. There is no shot they're winning this thing, Charlotte. So you go ahead and enjoy that one victory. Just like I said, they're in a no-win situation. Yes, they won, but every Celtic fan should be saying, where the hell was that when we were down 2-0? Because we ain't coming back from 3-0. Nobody's done it. Not to say it's impossible, but it ain't happening. So where the hell was that? We're down 9 after one or in the first period, and we were able to mentally be tough enough to come back in this one. We were mentally tough enough to go on an 18-0 run in this game and shift the lead from, you know, 9-9 to 9-4. We're mentally tough enough to do all that. Where was that, Charlotte? Where was that when you were down 2-0 and you needed the win the most?
I love how you're yelling at Charlotte like she's on the team and controls this, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Missoula calls me before every game and he's like, Charlotte, what should we do? And I'm like, try as little as possible. And he's like, got it. I don't know. I do feel that way. But I also feel like, you know, Al Horford said it after the game. He was like, our backs are up against the wall. And I don't know, had anyone ever come? I'm not even going to say the Red Sox thing.
No.
I'm just saying, I think it's possible. It is possible.
It is possible, but it's definitely not probable. But I will say this. The reason I'm rooting for it is it's now the funniest outcome. Because we were out all here talking cash bleep about this Celtics team because we figured the Miami Heat were going to go ahead and do us the favor of burying them. And so we were getting takes off. We were talking about their mental makeup, their mettle as a team, Joe Mazzulla's future, all this stuff. And now we talk about Jimmy Butler with bulletin board material. If Boston somehow did pull this off, the clips that they'd be able to pull for the rest of time around this team, of all of us, I think universally in sports media, this is one of the places where everyone came to get their shots in. It would be, Charlotte, objectively hilarious on the other side for Boston to get to just jujitsu the hell out of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do think it was funny coming into the studio this morning. I was like, this is why our careers are objectively hilarious. Because we come in with our takes and we're like, Celtics are going to get swept. Like, they're awful. They're not going to be able to get it together. And then they get it together. And everything you said was wrong, but you still said it. And a lot of people listened to it and it was pretty entertaining. And so I'm just like, we're just out here saying stuff about the future that we have no idea about. And so, yeah, they have all the material they need. And hopefully, in, you know, for me and my fandom, it works.
I will say, and this is to me the most interesting and telling stat of the entire series, and Dad kind of underscores the problem that you talked about with this team, because part of what Charlotte said, the future we were all predicting was based on the past, where up until last night, Jason Tatum, the best player on the Celtics team, an all-NBA player, a guy who's going to get $1 billion this offseason, made his first fourth quarter field goal last night. The first three games, he did not make a single shot in the fourth quarter. He attempted shots, but not nearly enough of them to actually go out there and make a difference or get one to go through the basket. And so just that alone is the best indicator of the level of aggression that now this team brought to the party. That's why, Dad, they're so frustrating. And this Boston Celtics team is hard for me to wrap my mind around, because every once in a while, you see it. Every once in a while, you see flashes of it enough to get them to three Eastern Conference Finals in 4 years. But then for some reason, inexplicably, you get a stat like that that pops up that has nothing to do with three-point shooting, even though we know they're a team relying on that, even though we know Jason Tatum is a guy that shot well from beyond the arc last night and can have that capability. But that stat is just aggression and your ability as the star to say, give me the damn ball and let me go and try and impact these games that we're losing. And that's the frustrating part, I think, for everyone watching.
Yeah, they outscored Miami by 30 points in the arc, all, you know, 18 of 45, 40%. Miami was 8 of 32 for 25%. So they got it done with the three ball. But this is what makes what we do so much fun. And just to prove that we don't know anything, you know, no matter what sport, even when we try and break down the sport we played, there are times when you just don't know anything. We went from, are they going to break up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Is Mazzulla going to be fired after we saw the great video of he playing against Jimmy Butler from West Virginia when Butler was at Marquette? We start talking about, oh, this team's going to have to break it up, another new head coach, break up the stars, to all of a sudden, they got to win, and guess what? Tyler Hero has the brace off his hand and he can start ball handling. Maybe he'll be back soon to help this team. I mean, that's what you love about this. I still say they're not going to come back and win this. I don't think they will. I think it was too little too late. They needed that in game three. But that's what we do now. All of a sudden, Mazzulla can save his job. You know, Tatum will get his $305 million or whatever it is. Brown will get his $295 million or whatever it is. And this team will stay together and win championships after one game last night. I love what we do. This is so much fun.
I just want it on the record of saying that while my dad thinks he doesn't know anything, I know everything. And so if you're looking for coherent sports takes and the right answers to your future problems, make sure you keep coming back to the show because I've got all these answers. Dad, I'm sorry you ran out of answers over the course of 20 years. I can't speak to that for you, but I still got plenty of them in the tank if you want to borrow some from time to time. We will, by the way, as we go on in this show, play a little game, new one that's sweeping the nation, called Grade That Take, where we go back and we grade a couple of takes from earlier in these rounds in the NBA postseason. And let's just say, going to be some interesting grades after last night. Going to be some things I'm not necessarily proud of here. Charlotte, I am curious for you, though, as you do sit down there, we've got an interesting dynamic at play now because we talked about in the NBA, we had a potential for two sweeps to occur in the conference finals. Had never happened before in the history of the NBA and now won't happen thanks to the Boston Celtics win last night. We also had the same setup. Now, I don't know if it had happened before or not, but in the NHL conference finals where Vegas now last night takes a 3-0 lead. You've got the Florida Panthers with a 3-0 lead that they're taking into tonight against the Hurricanes here. Charlotte, has this cracked any of the bravado overall for South Florida sports as they have walked into the office today? What's been the temperature around the office down there at the Meadowlark Studios?
No, I think it's been, I think there's a lot of confidence. I think there's a lot of confidence. And if any, you know, the Panthers, if they sweep, then I mean that just the confidence is off the charts. And maybe the Heat didn't do it, but the Panthers, well, I don't know. But I think that there is a level of understanding that if that happens again, and then it happens again, the Celtics and the Heat, then you're at a game seven situation. And I'm not saying, I'm not like, do I think they can do it? Yes, I actually do. I had a spooky feeling about the Heat earlier this season, and I mean earlier these playoffs, and I have a spooky feeling about the Celtics now. And my feeling, your dad might not know anything, and you might know everything, but I've got this spooky meter. So yeah, I think there's a lot of confidence down here, but I think people should watch out for the spook factor.
I'm appreciative that Charlotte. we're gonna have to get Charlotte's spooky meter built out at some point here so she can start to grade things along that. The arbiter of sports is now also the queen of spooky, and she's manages to go down there and not be infected with the Heat culture that I'm sure has been barfed all over her. And so Dad, since you mentioned it, while we try and send Charlotte over to maybe steal Stu Gotts or Jess or someone else from the shipping container, we also need to ask the question about this Celtics team and the Lakers team that we saw eliminated based off what we've seen from the last couple of games. Because like you said, everyone wants to tinker, everybody wants to change, but how much of that is actually real? Can we level set a little bit here and try and coherently take about these two teams heading into their NBA offseason? Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision and just order for the table a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjägermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Guys, before we get to any more basketball stuff, though, I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news bulletin here that I need to read to you guys, courtesy of Dad, your and I's old coworker, Mikey C. of Weekend Observations, SVP and Russillo fame, tweeted at me that today, May 24th, is National Mic Day. a celebration of everybody named Mike. We talked the other day about how we believe the Mikes could outdo the Kyles in trying to have the most same name people in one spot on a given day. But this is our day. So, Dad, happy Mike Day to you. Charlotte, thank you for being here to help us celebrate Mikes across this great nation. All of you, shape, size, race, gender, however you come to it, we appreciate you for being Mikes and having the most unoriginal baby name on planet Earth.
I was going to say, you know, we used to have the most popular name for such a long time. Now, I don't even think we're on the top 10 list anymore. I mean, it has gone to some different kind of names out there. So, and Mike or Michael hasn't been one of them. So, there are times when, Mike, I have regretted naming you Mike because we ended up in the same business of football and then media, and at times it's gotten confusing. I've gotten your paycheck a few times. You have gotten the benefit of my travel schedule at ESPN a few times. So
never your paycheck, which, by the way, we need to figure out what's going on with that, because this is bull stuff. I worked with you for 7 years when you made a lot more money than me, and not once did payroll screw that up for me and do me that favor. I got a bunch of your emails. I got asked to do a bunch of stuff that you were supposed to do, but no one saw fit to try and change my life with that one paycheck that could have had me a made man. So I still hold a grudge to some people over at Disney payroll, Charlotte.
Listen, you should. Of all the things you want mixed up, that's one of them. I just, in the intro, by the way, I'm honored to be here celebrating the Mikes on Mike Day. Can't think of two better Mikes to be celebrating with. I looked in my phone just now. I put Mike in my contacts, and You could scroll for a while here. I don't know if this is a factor of being born in 1989 and that being a very popular name, but there are a lot of Mikes in there.
Well, Charlotte, I would say the abundance of Mikes, because I always joke, if you walk into any room and just shout Mike, you'll watch like 9 heads turn your way. That was how I got the nickname Gojo, was being where you were down in South Beach with the Levitard crew. And because Mike Ryan is the EVP down there, I don't know what Mike's title is. I know the search for the EVP, I think, continues. But when Mike was the EVP there, he was the lead Mike in that show, and so I needed a different reference point, and that was where they came up with the name Gojo. So it was born out of too many Mikes. Now, we mentioned, Dad, you mentioned the top baby names. Do you want to take a guess at the top five, any of the top five current names, the most popular baby names according to BabyCenter.com for boys in 2023? Charlotte and Dad, I will give you each, I'll say, 2 guesses of a top 5 boy baby name in 2023. Dad, let's start with you.
Liam.
All right. Did you look them up?
No, but I saw this list. It's number 1, isn't it? Yeah.
No, Liam's number 2, so this actually gives me a little bit of hope. Charlotte, what's your guess? Because Liam is one of the answers. It's number 2.
Oh, God, I don't know. And I see all those baby name TikToks, too. Do you see those people on TikTok who are like, here's how to name your kid? Which I always thought was sort of funny, because they're like, if you want a name no one's using. And I'm like, well, no, everybody's going to use it because they're all seeing this. I don't know what the boys name it. I know that girl is very cool for girls right now. You see, Mike Sr., you seem like you've got an idea.
Well, how about Malachi?
Okay, that's not girl.
Malachi. Malachi is nowhere in the top 10 for either list. Aurora is a girl's name that's at 12, which is pretty wonderful. Brandon, I heard your voice out there. Do you have any guesses for top 5 baby names for boys? Or I'll open up to girls, too.
Yeah, I think Caleb is up there. And I'd probably say Himshad's number 1.
Who? Unfortunately, no. Himshad, not number 1. Or anywhere on this list, because you just made that up here now. The top 5 male baby names of 2023, according to BabyCenter.com, are number 5, Lucas. Number 4, Elijah. Number 3, Oliver. Number 2, Liam. And number 1, shout out to the Bible, Noah. Number 1 baby name for 2023.
Wow. Really? Wow. Noah.
And okay. I think in a way, so you know how like during sports seasons they say this team's the only team that's top 5 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. the version of that for baby names goes to the base level of Oliver and Olivia. Olivia, the number one girl's name for 2023 so far. Oliver checking in at number three, the only same name likeness on both sides of the aisle in this one. So where Michael and Michelle used to have some semblance of dominance, Oliver and Olivia have taken over. Charlotte, I'm stunned.
You know, it's kind of crazy because I think for us, we think of the top five names right now, at least I do, as sort of like cool, a little bit different, fun names. And everyone who's having kids is around our age. So they're also probably thinking that and then naming their kids that. And then everybody's thinking that at the same time. And you got, it used to be like Matt, Mike, Ryan, Kyle, were the sort of dependables.
Well, I'll say Mike went to the top five baby names. I went to the topic of du jour of today. From 1961 until 1998, Mike was the number one boy name in America.
You damn right.
Yeah, from 1999 to 2008, it was number two. So, like, we still got a lot of Mikes coming.
Yeah, as we should. I mean, because you see some of the other names out there, like we always say this, like about Gwyneth Paltrow, she named her kid Apple. I mean, what are you doing? What are you got to think about your kid when they go to school, of what's going to happen at the school. It doesn't matter. You got to think of your kid. I don't care what it means to her. You got to think of your kid when he's in fourth grade and the teacher's doing roll call. Apple, here. You know, you're afraid to raise your hand because you're going to get mocked for being named Apple. I mean, seriously.
That is true. Someone whose last name was Golick definitely got mocked their fair share in middle school. Yeah. So you can imagine. Yeah. Middle school kids, no matter what your name is, tremendously unkind people. Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, as we transition away from celebrating Mike's, which the more I hear about it and the more I think about it, is the LeBron James of baby names, considering its incredibly dominant run where it was either first or second for the majority of the years of my lifetime. Make sure you celebrate the Mike in your life today. Restaurants, establishments, make sure you offer Mike's some sort of free product as the day goes on. It's the right thing to do, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of history because, again, there's a lot of us, and we'll come for you. But in the meantime, before we get to also a little game that we've called Grade That Take, where we're going to go back and, spoiler alert, grade some takes that we had, Dad and Charlotte, I want to start with you and ask this question because while you are hopped up on Celtics in 7 bravado now, you believe this Boston team has the capability to at least make it a little froggy in the Eastern Conference Finals, which I will say, I'm hoping they win Game 5. I want to see this get a little bit interesting, and I want to save us from the 8-day break that we were due for had the Heat gone out and won last night between the Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. But is last night going to do enough, Charlotte, in your mind to temper some of the expectations? Because the Lakers lost and are now heading into an offseason where LeBron James has hinted at retirement. They've got a bunch of players up contractually here. Kyrie Irving was in the building. Darvin Ham, much like Joe Mazzulla, a first-year coach in this seat who weathered an end of the season that most of the fan base isn't happy with. So, Charlotte, I would ask you, coming off of last night, which of these teams, in the form we saw them this year, is most likely to show up at the start of next season with the same core, same head coach, same star players? Is it the Lakers or is it the Boston Celtics?
I don't know how likely it is for either, but I think it's more likely for the Celtics because I think, I don't know that this, say they lose on Thursday, I don't know that this one win saves anybody because those first three games were so bad. And Al Horford after the game, I saw this interview that was really interesting because he was like, we were in a funk, like something happened. He was like, something happened. And I was like, what happened? Like he, not that there was an event, but just like they were so completely off. Tatum after the game blamed it on the Heat doing more zone defense than they'd been used to and having to adjust to that. But it was like they lost. It was like Space Jam, you know, the most overused reference of all time. But the monsters came for their powers. And I think that if they can keep going, if they can win one more, two more even, if they can get it to 3-3, I think that changes a lot. I don't know if it changes enough. And I think that Brown not being fully healthy, because I think he's the elbows bothering him, the hand. I think that that is probably playing into it more. So I think that there's more of a chance for the Celtics that they are still together than the Lakers, because I don't know what LeBron's going to do.
So Charlotte, you would think that Joe Mazzulla ends up coming back here. That's I think the big question hanging over this. You would say Tatum and Brown both get paid and Joe Mazzulla comes back?
If they can get it to 3-3, I think there's more of a chance. I feel like even winning, I don't know. I feel like there's a chance if they win another game on Thursday and a bigger chance if they win. I think it's really dependent on what happens here in the next few days.
See, I think it's, and I agree with Charlotte about the team, and I think it's less about the coaches. If Mazzulla is gone, I think that has less effect than if Tatum or Brown are gone on that team. If they can keep more of the players together there. L.A., man, I don't know what the hell is going on with the different scenarios that they can have. We talked about it the other day. Kyrie Irving was there. So, you know, there's that rumor. Does he come in? But as I mentioned, then you lose your depth. You know, see the Phoenix Suns. You know, on that when they traded for Durant and lost all their depth and got ousted when you have some talent. So there's something to having stars on your team, but at what cost having those stars? We know with AD and LeBron, you are on your last legs of that. And, you know, in Boston, you're not. You know, if you can keep this core together, look at Golden State, the run that they went on. That's what you're kind of looking for in Boston. But you have to deal with Philadelphia, obviously, as well. What Miami is doing. Milwaukee's not going anywhere. So you do have all that as well. But I think right now, the Celtics are right there. So I would not tinker with that team too much if they can. You know, there's a whole lot that goes into it. It's easy to say don't tinker with it much. But there's free agents, restricted free agents, salary cap, all those things you have to deal with. And we know the money, the two stars are about to get paid, but you can always pay the luxury tax as well when you go over. So I think that team has a better chance because it has younger parts as the core than the Lakers do. I think the Lakers are trying to manufacture anywhere LeBron is, you're trying to manufacture a team every year to win it that particular year. It's almost like the Rams every year where LeBron is. You sell out, you do everything you can to win it that year. And if you don't, it's a disappointment. If you do, then it pays off. And we saw it paid off for the Lakers in the bubble when they won it. But then you do it again. Even LeBron said after, yeah, I'm disappointed. My only goal is to win a championship. I've done everything else. So I have a feeling that team can get tinkered with a hell of a lot more than the Celtics.
Yeah, but I guess not around the main parts, right? Because we all assume, or at least I think, I'm calling LeBron's bluff on the retirement thing. I saw Arash Markazi actually presented what I think is the most potentially coherent LeBron timeline that I saw thrown out yesterday in the midst of all this. He pointed out and said LeBron isn't leaving without a retirement tour, which I think is fair. He said his goal was to play in the NBA with Bronny. He's 1 mile down the road and will likely be a one and done. LA hosts the 2025 NBA All-Star Game, which would be a great send-off for LeBron James, and then NBA Vegas ownership by 2023. Now, I would question LeBron playing with Bronny. Is that something that can happen in Los Angeles? Is he going to structure his deal so that he's got the ability to move and go wherever LeBron James Jr. is? I would think that's probably the case. Dad, what do you think?
He can. I mean, his contract next year is under contract for $46 million. Then the year after, the year if Bronny was a one and done and would go to the league, LeBron has a player option at $50 million. So he set it up that way. So he has the choice that year when Bronny could technically come out as a one and done with a player option to kind of, you know, decline that and go wherever Bronny goes or however that would go. If Bronny would be with the Lakers, I have no idea. But he is kind of set up to do that. And I agree with the other points. I do think he'd want a farewell tour. I do think he'd love the All-Star game in L.A. I do think he is, while he's one of the greatest to ever play, he's also about the show as well. And as you mentioned the other day, we've been following this guy since he was 14, 15 years old. You know, and now he'll play till he's 40. And it's been absolutely an incredible career, owned just about every record there is when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I agree. No, and so all of that. Man, oh, go ahead, Charlotte.
There's no way he's retiring. There's no way he's retiring without without a retirement tour or 2 years of it. Or there's no way. Like we've been, as you said, we've been following for so long. Like his whole life has been not just basketball, but his own story. And you can't have a story without a really neat, satisfying ending. And if that ending isn't going to be a championship, then it's got to be the pomp and circumstance around the ending itself, I think.
I would agree. And so all that to me leads back to the point we made where, Dad, him leaving is, I think, at best a year off when the LeBron James Jr. factor kicks into these things. I don't think he's actually going to miss the entirety of a season. Maybe he tries to pull the Gronk thing where he really devalues the regular season and says, I'm going to rest up. I'm going to be a, you know, college basketball dad at the beginning of the season. However he wants to finagle it, but I think he's back. Obviously, Anthony Davis, I think, is going to be there. And Darvin Ham, I don't think his job ever seemed like it was truly in jeopardy, no matter what people try and say about LeBron. And then on the other side, it's kind of like quarterbacks in the NFL where once you get to a certain range, a team's really got no choice to pay you because finding other versions of that out in the vast sea of nonsense is really more difficult than people give it credit for. Tatum and Brown are well over that line. They're so good, you can't not go out there, even with the results being a little bit less than you wanted, but 1 year removed from a finals appearance, and not pay those guys. So really, and Charlotte, it comes back to this. I don't think firing Joe Mazzulla is the best idea. If you thought he was the guy enough to pull him off that bench when Ime Udoka got left go and ousted under those circumstances, take the interim tag off him, and then now let him get really valuable postseason experience in year one on the bench as the head coach, point over to the Miami Heat, the Denver Nuggets, all these places that value continuity if you believe you've got the right guy, rather than going and riding the same musical chairs NBA game with all these retread coaches that Phoenix and others are getting ready to do right now. Firing Joe Mazzulla at this point seems like it would be counterproductive relative to where you are in the life cycle of this Celtics team, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, I think the problem is that a bunch of people have convinced themselves that we're not at a young point of the life cycle because they've been here five times now with this core. And since 2018, they've been contenders with like young, exciting, homegrown players. And so these guys are only like Tatum's 25, you know, 26. Marcus Smart, how old is he? 28, 27, 26. Like they're young still, and there's still time to, I mean, maybe not young in basketball years, but they're in their prime. And I think a lot of people feel like this was the best chance. And I don't think there's a lot of thinking forward in terms of can they get here again, because it seems impossible because they've gotten here so many times before. I think there's a lot of recency bias going on.
Marcus Smart, the octogenarian of this group at 29 years old. It's that sports meme.
He's 29.
Oh, I'm 35. I have my. He's 29. I know. He's closer to our age, which is terrifying for him and the way that announcers will talk about him in his advanced age, Dad.
Yeah, that is true. But Charlotte, you look at it. Robert Williams, who, by the way, I love. I love watching that dude play. He is ferocious on defense. He's 25. Grant Williams is 24. Derek White is 28. Smart, you mentioned, is 29. Horford's the old man of the sea there at 36. And then you got the youngsters in Brown at 26. And obviously Tatum at 25. So while they have the experience, they are young enough to keep them together. And Mike, to your point, yes, I wouldn't say fire Joe Mazzulla, but we know that's what happens, right? We know that's what happens. is we didn't get where we wanted to go. We're losing, or we're probably going to lose to an eighth seed. We got to make a change. We got to do something that says we think we have the team to win the finals, and we didn't get there, and we didn't get there by losing to an eighth seed. We got to make a change. Let's fire the coach. You know, there is way too much a rush to judgment, because you're right. It's musical chairs. Two of the final four for the Phoenix job is Nick Nurse and Doc Rivers, just switching from Toronto or Philly over to Phoenix. You know, it's just the rotation. It's just the retread. So what does it actually do in the long run? But I think ownership or management feels they need to make a change to say, we're right there. We know we're right there. We're going to make and do whatever we have to do to get us over the top. And if that means getting rid of this coach, damn it, that's what we'll do, because we want to win. And sometimes they just do everything. They pull the trigger too quick.
Oh, they definitely do that. I'm just saying they probably shouldn't in this case, unless you really think you've got the answer. And, man, it's like talking to your friend who's had a bad ex. Honey, Doc Rivers is not the answer. Like, you don't want to do that. You don't need to go down that road. Don't go back to that path. You're not going to go back to him. You've already had the good times there. Nick Nurse seems like a great guy. I don't know if he's the one to push it over the top either, unless you're going to get Kawhi Leonard there. Maybe do the college thing where you bring a couple of Navy SEALs in to train the team, because it seems like more than anything, you need to. Or since Jason Tatum is a Kobe system guy, show him Kobe Bryant highlights and be like, dude, he would make shots in the fourth quarter. Maybe just think about doing that. While we're being predictive, I do want to go back, though, because we do need to play a game. We've got about 6 minutes left here of Grade That Take. Because, Dad, you and I were arguing last night about the nature of this. Charlotte Wilder, in her infinite clairvoyance, for someone who says we don't know anything about sports, I want to posit this take. This is all the way back on May 10th. So we're sitting here 2 weeks later to the day after Charlotte said this. I want to pull this up, play this, and then play Grade the Take. Who do we think the actual best team in the postseason remaining is right now? Like, Charlotte, it just knee-jerk reaction when I say that. Who comes to mind for you right now?
Part of me thinks the Nuggets, just because of how absolutely dominant they've been. And part of me thinks that the Heat could sneaky keep this going. I think, in my opinion, Jimmy Butler, I know his stats aren't the best of everybody, but what he's been doing is this superhuman pulling together of a team. And you've got Eric Spoelstra, who is getting incredible play out of guys who went undrafted on his bench. It's unbelievable. I don't want everybody on the Levitard show in Miami to hear this and clip this and use this against me when the Celtics are not in the playoffs anymore. But I do think that that is not the correct answer, but I think that there's a feeling around it that I would not count them out. But I think the real answer is probably Denver.
All right, so Charlotte, I'm going to go, Dad, I want your take on this next. I'm going to go A minus on this, just because right at the very end, you hedged a little bit with the Denver Nugget there, pun fully intended, coming off of what was otherwise a perfect look at this, because there were still plenty of teams alive 2 weeks ago, and we had still, I think, as a public, not yet totally bought into the idea that the Miami Heat could actually win a championship. Dad, what is your grade before we hear Charlotte's assessment of her own take?
Well, I am a Charlotte fan. I think we all understand that. But, you know, I have to be the stern teacher here. She kind of waffled, right? She kind of gave two answers. She kind of said Miami. Then right at the end, she said, but probably Denver. So at the end of the day, did she really pick a side? You know, I mean, that's my question to you, Charlotte. Did you really pick a side?
I would argue that I just predicted the end of the NBA season, because I still think that the Nuggets would beat the Heat if the Heat make it to the finals. So I think that it was actually a very accurate take. I think I was saying I feel good about Miami in a way that nobody else does right now, but I also think the correct answer is Denver. And I think I'd give that take an A, because A, I said it. I'm just also never right this way. So I'm going to just really take this moment and soak it in. Hey.
Oh, the sweetest drug in sports media, a correct taker prediction in our vast sea of being wrong about stuff all the damn time.
So rare.
All right. Speaking of that, I believe we also have the take from Dad earlier this NBA postseason, if we want to pull that up concerning the Denver Nuggets before we play Grade That Take.
To be more consistent, I think down the line of the lineup, Denver has a better lineup outside of even the stars. I trust Jokic to do what he did more on a consistent basis than anybody else left in the playoffs. The next in line would be Jimmy Butler, for sure. But Jokic, I expect that all the time, and I think he's got a really good surrounding cast as well. I think this could be Denver's year if Jokic is playing out of his freaking mind right now. But then again, I guess we could say, well, we've seen this from him. He's got two MVPs that we've seen the do this, but they've never closed the deal in the playoffs. And the way he's playing right now in the playoffs, I just think he'll be consistent with that. I think he has a better supporting cast, and I think they will continue doing what they're doing.
All right, so that take was from May 16th, so only about 8 days old here, not been in the oven all that long. Dad, I'm going to give this a solid B-, mostly because I think you just said the obvious thing here. I don't think there was a ton of bravery in the take here. We could all see that Nikola Jokic, who's built like a college offensive lineman, going out there, giving everyone buckets, was clearly a part of the best team this time a week ago.
Time out. The question was, who's the best team in the playoffs? Why am I supposed to go out on a limb? The best team in the playoffs is Denver. Let me ask you both this. So what? You asked a question. I gave the correct answer. That was an A-plus answer, by the way. And I'll ask you both this. And, Mike, I'll start with you. If you had to lay any amount, if you had to lay the all the money you have in your bank account on one team right now to win the championship, tell me it's not Denver. It's Denver. So, and that's what said. Denver is the team. So, listen, that was the question. What's the best team left in the playoffs? Denver. I gave you the answer, and it was the correct answer. A-plus, teacher's pet.
You know how
teacher's
in
pet?
Elementary
Who's the teacher?
School, yeah, your son. Your son's a teacher. No, in elementary school, you know how they would have, like, you wouldn't get grades, but they would be, like, satisfactory, exceptional. Yeah. Whatever, and it was for different categories. I feel like that take was, in its correctness, exceptional. In its originality, needs improvement.
That is true. I like the idea that we're grading this like gymnastics, where it's like, all right, yeah, you executed what you were going for correctly. Unfortunately, the degree of difficulty was not all that high, because again, I will say, when we go back a couple of weeks to when Charlotte gave that take, we still had teams like the Suns out there. We still had more people available to you in this pool of teams to potentially pick, versus now, Dad, where as you stand here bravely hand over heart with all of three teams left in the NBA and say, who would we bet on to win the finals? That's impressive.
All I have to say is your take, which we don't have time to play. You said there would be two sweeps. So while Charlotte and I both get an A, you get an F because you were flat out wrong.
Hey, you know what? But there is valor in the attempt because, again, high degree of difficulty. Going and predicting something that had never happened in NBA history. On National Mic Day, I award myself a gold star. All right, the 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for some real basketball. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered on same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And how about this for something interesting if you're looking to bet in the Eastern Conference? The Boston Celtics, understandably massive favorites at minus 170, followed by the Milwaukee Bucks, who have been in second most of the year. And then the third best odds in the East, the seventh place Philadelphia 76ers at plus 1,000, who have been flirting with the play-in since Joel Embiid's injury, now all of a sudden got him back, looking a lot better. Interesting one to look at as we march toward the postseason. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code GOJO. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code GOJO only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, now that everyone's done kissing up to the teacher after a rousing game of grade that take, We got to get ready to send everyone back off into the wild here. My dad, I've now realized, is left home alone by himself. My mom's out of the house. He's got dogs to take care of. Charlotte, I worried about you a little bit down in South Beach with all of these Miami fans inside that studio. I'm a lot more worried, Dad, about you alone in the house having to take care of all these things without mom's guidance.
Yeah, there's trouble here because of Ted. We have three dogs. Hank is a 12-year-old pug. Harry's a 6-year-old pug. And Ted is a 2-year-old bulldog who is like a downhill linebacker. Everything is straight ahead into a wall and just destroys everything. So I fear, your mother said, put him in the cage while you're doing the show. I opted not to. I said I wanted to give him his freedom. And he was down here for a while downstairs, and I don't hear him anymore. So I am really scared of what I'm going to find when the show is over.
Silence is always the worst sign when you have a force of nature for a dog. You might be in a little bit of trouble, but I'm praying for Ted.
Yeah. You're in the eye of the Ted storm right now, and the results are usually not good. So we'll all say a silent prayer for my dad, that because Ted, it's not his fault. It's your fault. And my mom knows that, which means you're the one that's in for an ass chewing if this goes sideways. But in the meantime, we're going to try and get everyone out of the eye of the storm and into this, that, and the third. Three quick stories to finish off your day. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review, leave us a 5-star rating, and check out thewilderthings.substack and see what Charlotte's been cooking up in the kitchen lately as she has been all over the country fulfilling her Meadowlark responsibilities, getting us through the NBA postseason. And speaking of one of your teammates down there at Meadowlark, Dad, the most Jets thing humanly possible happened to Stu Gotts and company as we get to this. Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard both sidelined with injury during Jets OTAs. Aaron Rodgers apparently with a small calf tweak. Alan Lazard also going off the field during OTAs, being checked out by medical personnel. As Stu Gotts said, Dad, Aaron Rodgers now officially a Jet because something bad has happened here, even if it's minor and they don't think it's actually anything.
Listen, this is what every Jet fan will. Jet fans cannot deal with good things happening to them. And right now, everybody's talking about them as being in it in the AFC. They have one of the best defenses, which they do. Their offense, the O-line, needs to be rebuilt a little bit. But now you have Aaron Rodgers and some help at the receiver position. So you're going to be in games because of your defense. You have a good team to talk about. So this is what a Jet fan does. Their glass isn't cracked. Their glass is smashed. So they are fully prepared for Aaron Rodgers to go down in training camp or early in the season and see Zach Wilson come back in and lead this Jet team to mediocrity.
Well, Zach Wilson did say that he was coming for Aaron Rodgers' job. So I do think, though, that as far as Jets fans go, you want as many small bad things to happen as possible so that you're not waiting for the one big bad thing. So I think that if you actually think about it, this could be good for Jets fans. You can't have those high expectations the whole time.
That is true. Brush him back a little bit early, a fastball on the inside of the plate. I will say my favorite part of this is, and this is in the ESPN.com article, the injury appeared to happen when he was hopping on a small medicine ball, one of the quirky exercises that they do to warm up before practice. And Rodgers, when commenting on the warm-up, said, obviously, there's science behind it. So good to know Aaron's done his own research on the Jets warm-up routine as well. Guys, let's get to that. The NFL is changing more rules. Now, apparently, it was voted through yesterday that the NFL would change its rules surrounding the kickoff to where now any touchback or fair catch would now bring kickoffs down and spot them at the 25-yard line instead of the 20. So, Dad, you've lived longer than all of us and experienced the NFL when you had the wedge on kickoffs and no one cared about concussions. Seeing this now, what do you think about the future of the kickoff in the NFL based on this rule change?
Well, it's got to stay. I mean, those are special teams jobs, you know, that need to be there for players. And yeah, back in the day when I was one of those guys back that formed that wall behind the returner and the wedge guys would just come down, not only fly through the air, but turn their bodies sideways to try and knock us all out. Where we've gone to now, listen, they were psychos, absolute psychos, and everybody loved it. So now, and we all knew you'd figure out something when they changed the kickoff rules, and it was Bill Belichick. We're going to pop up our kickoff to the outside, the hash mark, so about the 3 yard line, and we're going to bury the team inside the 20 yard line. Last two seasons, concussions have been up on kickoffs, kickoff returns. About 37% of them have been returned. They think this will drop it down to 31%, but I think you'll eventually get to, and we looked at it weird, the XFL kickoff. So you're going to keep the kickoff, but everybody lined up like 20 yards from the returner, 5 yards from each other, and nobody could move until the returner caught the ball. So now the kickoff team couldn't build up full speed to have those crazy collisions, and you can still have a kickoff return where you need these special teams players. So this is a one-year deal on this rule. They'll revisit it next year, and I do think they'll change it again. So just so they want to be able to keep that kickoff, but they want to keep the concussions down.
I also think it's significant that they changed this after college changed it, because we've seen so many of the rule changes in the NFL follow the college game and sort of use them as a model. So I think we're going to have to pay a lot of attention to what college teams and what the conferences are doing, because I think that'll tell us a lot about what's coming for the good old NFL.
Yeah, the NF of L. Last year, the average kick returns fielded outside of the end zone went to at least the 24.3 yard line. So they're going to get about a 0.7 yard advantage with this new rule put into play. And Dad, I'm with you. I think this is a trial balloon. I think they want another year of data from the XFL to try and see, all right, what are the health stats on this? What are the stats on the return here? Can we keep this exciting play in? Because they said more changes on the way, but that is not going to go up into and including eliminating the kickoff altogether, because they understand that's a little bit too much, even at a time where it seems like the NFL is changing everything. But guys, let's get to the third, because some things change and others, they stay the same. And that is the world of video games always giving us something extremely difficult to grapple with. So Vulture.com did a list and ranking of the 100 toughest video game levels of all time, boiled down into a list. They have at number one on this list, Turbo Tunnel from the game Battletoads on Super NES from 1991 that I had never heard of before this, but I ask you guys, Dad, starting with you, and I'm scared to ask this because you're 60, do you have a pick for the hardest video game you've ever played?
Yeah, I like in the break when you said Pong. Yeah, real nice. I would say Zelda was very difficult. I mean, I haven't played video games in decades, but I remember Zelda, and I remember Zelda being very, very hard.
Dad, you have no idea how timely that is. That's incredible. Charlotte?
Really?
Mike, you picked the two funniest people to ask this of. The last video game I played seriously was probably when I was 14, and it was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3, and there was a mall level that was really, really difficult. And I sort of miss it. I think it might be time to bring that back for me personally.
Oh, Charlotte Wilder streaming on Twitch is the world that we need to live in going forward. I'd say this, and I know, Dad, you'll remember me having played this. Charlotte, you might remember this also. Number six on this list was Through the Fire and the Flames on Guitar Hero 3 from 2007. There was no more impressive group of human beings on this earth to me than my junior year of high school, than the people that could get through that on expert level. Charlotte, I see your eyes light up, and I know you feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. What is that? She's My Cherry Pie. What song is that? I don't know if that was from that level, but I really, that was
from Guitar Hero I Love the 80s, which was also an absolute banger. This one makes my pinkies hurt just thinking about it, trying to flex getting to that note. So at Gojo Show on Twitter.
Yeah, real quick before this ends, Ted is staring at me right now with a shoe in his mouth. So I'm glad the show is over because I'm in trouble.
Oh, God help us all. Subscribe, download, rate, and review. Help us beat the algorithm. Help my dad survive Ted.
Put it down. Put it down.
Go. Boom. Money in the bank. Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.